I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have in front of me two books. The words in those books were written centuries and centuries ago. For those who would hear, and here we are. And this morning, I felt the burden of what I would say today, and I trust God. I prayed, and I recognize the limits of myself, but I know that God is. He answers prayer, and I know that I've been blessed, and I'm blessed for this moment. And I've read the scriptures, different books, recent, and some today, and I've got a few notes. And as in my prayer, I ask God to give me those things He wanted me to say. So what I'm going to say, I have not written. I have in my thoughts many things. And I know that all of us need the same things for the same reasons. And each one of us is in his own compartment of life. And you can look back on your life. Each one of us can. Some of us can look back a long ways.
And somebody
can look back a lot less. Yet,
our life experiences
have given us this moment
and the things to think about.
And I think that most of us, if they're
true about
their own conscience, there's things they wish they hadn't done. And there's things that they wish they had have done. And we know
each one of us is just like the grass of the field.
We have our day, we have our sunshine, we have our rain. And we grow green, and some of us bear fruit. And there's always a harvest. Somebody might come along and smile because it was great. He saw what he planted, and he definitely reaped what he saw, what he could see. And as we go through life, we sow those seeds. And we know that there's a record
of what kind of seeds we sow.
And also they know
that it will be recorded
when we cease to sow and someone else
sees the harvest.
And we're admonished in all the scriptures to do good. Young people, when they're
3 and 4 and 5 years old,
know when they're wrong. They know when they're right. And I and put down a few things here,
just real brief like.
You know, the trials of life are many,
come in all kinds of ways,
and touch everybody a different way, and maybe some the same. And we know that life throws sticks and stones at us, and there is trials of tribulation of the material worlds and the spiritual worlds and the relationships we have with the people who we love. And all those things. And there's many people that throw rocks at us or say something that provokes us or whatever.
And I've
written down here, don't worry about sticks and stones. Watch what you say and what you do and where you are. And we know where we are this morning. We're here with hope that you won't have wasted your time. And hope that what will be said will be right, be true, and be influenced by the Almighty. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to turn to Psalms 128. Blessed. A lot of people read that word blessed, and you can read it blessed. Blessed, I'm reading now, is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, out of his mercy and from his kingdom. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. This is the songs of David. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Well, that condition existed with many people for a long time. And in their life, they endured to the end and rewarded. You know, every man is in his own generation. He has his own time. I'm going to turn to the 15th chapter of John. I don't know what I didn't put down, 1 John or what, but I will find out. I'll read it here and see if I'm together. That must be. There you go. Well, my goodness. Excuse me. I usually write the page numbers down, but I haven't got them there now. Good grief. I hate this. You think I know it? Here we go. 15th chapter, the 7th verse. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That big word if there. And I'll go back to the 5th verse. It says, I am the vine, Christ speaking. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Boy, what a statement. We try to run before the horse. You get the cart in front of the horse, and you run without him. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And there's where faith comes in. You can't have faith and doubt. You can't be double-minded. Black is not white. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples, my followers. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 6, 6 chapter. Seventh verse. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. And the words, we've already been admonished. My son, this is Solomon's instruction to his son. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or the left. Remove thy foot from evil. All through these books, it talks about good and evil, good and evil, righteousness and non-righteousness. It says, can a man take fire? This is Proverbs 6, and this is 27th verse. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? And that's just plain instructions. You can't bend out of shape unless you sin. I'm going to turn to Job 15. Yeah, Job. You know, you'd think I'd remember all the books of the Bible, but sometimes I can't even remember who I am when I get up in the morning. Looking too far back. Well, you know, it's embarrassing for a guy to not remember these things or put his notes down, but I have to plead guilty. Now it's close. Fifteenth chapter of Job, verse 6. Got that in there, but I did. All right. I'm going to lay this up here and maybe have a few more notes, and I guess I'm going to give God my trust. You know what the ultimate goal of life is? Our soul salvation. And is there hope when we look at the world around us and we see ourselves caught up in it? Where is our hope? If you won't trust God, in Psalms, the 121st Psalm, verse 12, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my hope, my help. And we know that's God. And there it takes the faith, not doubting. Okay, you know, I guess I'm going to close this up and shut up reading these things because I got too many of them. That's the thing that's bad. Do we have the faith to trust God without wavering, not doubting? Isn't that a big, deep question? It certainly is. Do we have the faith? You know, we go out to a mall, and we're thirsty, and we ask somebody, "Where's the water fountain?" Boy, we're thirsty. We rush right up there and turn it on and drink water. We don't think it's poison. We think it's good. We have no doubts that that water is right for us, and how great it is. That's faith. We don't even, we just know. Here we go. And you know, in my life, and not to boast, but I've had that kind of faith. I've picked up people, my wife says, don't, he may be bad. I say, he got his thumb out. Am I going to judge him? I pick him up. And, I give him a ride because he wanted it. I didn't say that he might have murdered his mother, he might have done this or done that, don't pick him up. He might do something bad. And I, in my own conscience, my own thoughts, that man needs a ride. He wants a ride. Who am I to judge him? And I can, I will. And if he wants to do me in, I got God on my side right quick. I don't doubt that one bit. And that's the way I went through life. And here I am. I'm not worthy of very many things. I'm just weak and do stumble around like everybody else. Paul said he was, of all sinners, he was the worst one. And when people can't admit how weak they may be or what they've done, they're not strong. They think a man, because he pleads guilty, he's weak, but he's not. It takes a strong man to stand up to the things that he's earned in life. I've been blessed many times in that regard. I remember one time when I got out of the service, I had the inclination that I wanted to become an artist. Because I'd done a lot of drawing and stuff while I was in the service and things like that. And so I signed up to go to the art school. And I went, and I had to go to school after working hours, and I got home at 1 o'clock in the morning. And it was over in the central part of Kansas City. My wife always told me that don't pick up nobody at night. Don't pick up nobody at night. Well, I was about a third of the way home over on Van Brunt or somewhere, 1 o'clock in the morning. Here was two guys with thumbs out. I thought about it, and I picked them up. And one got in front, and one got in back. And God gave me a little wisdom, I think. And I just greeted them with a smile. I said, "You boys out late night and want to get home, right?" "Yep." "And they said, tell me where they wanted to go, you know." And they did, and then they got kind of quiet. And I said, "I've been instructed by my wife many times not to pick up anybody at night because they may have bad things." And that's what I mentioned to them. And I said, "Well," I said, "I picked you up." But I said, "I got the difference." I said, "I'm not worried about you boys." And so I said, "Just relax. I'll get you where you want to go." And I know that they thought they had somebody that they could take advantage of. But I didn't boast too much or really say anything, but I just talked to them straight. I got the difference. I don't know what you guys think, but I don't care who the evil man is. He's always got a question in his mind. If I do this, am I going to be the guy that's going to win? And he has some doubts too. But if you don't doubt God, he's there. And that is a great thing. And I've been protected many times in my travels and in my stupidity. I have. And I know that as I stand right here, that the true and living God has had his hands on me and my heart and soul. And I plead guilty every day of the things that I've misbehaved. And I, in my prayers, I pray that I've forsaken my evil ways. And I always need help, God. And here I am again. I need your help. Well, so many things can be said. I guess I'll just read this. Paul's prophecy rings true today. In the same passage, he stated that in the last days, man would be endowed with an abundance of information, but he never been able to come to the knowledge of the truth. A recent survey by a group called Barna revealed that only 22% of Americans claim to believe in the existence of absolute moral truth, and that only 13% cited the Bible as the source of the standards on which they base their moral and ethical decisions. To the average American, spiritual life seems foreign and irrelevant to the real world that they inhabit. The false god of political correctness has banned prayer in schools, the public display of the Ten Commandments, with no no soul and no consequence beyond the immediate cause and effect, a life with no meaning or purpose. That's the way the world tolls. So where's peace? And Jews of old anticipated a Messiah who would deliver them from the human bondage and oppression. But Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The peace he gives us is not freedom from human bondage, but a liberation from the bondage of sin and the misery of its consequences. This freedom comes only through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation set in motion when God created man. We can have the peace if we accept Jesus by faith, not doubting, admitting our sin before him, allowing him to rid our sins of iniquity through repentance. and baptism, and adhering to His unchangeable laws for the remainder of our lives, then we can realize Paul's promise to the believers. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And you know, all of His laws from the Bible are absolute things. Things that you can't dispute them. The absolutes are the principles that undergird and bolster up our most basic assumptions about life. They are the underlying foundation of common sense, the standards by which determine the difference between right and wrong, truth or falsehoods, essentials or trivial. They are the truths that support our truisms. They form the bedrock of our civility. The absolutes are the points on the horizon by which we navigate the river of life. A 19th century historian and philosopher argues that the genius of the Constitution, you know, we got a government, you know, and we can criticize the government, but well, I don't think we have the wisdom to give him any advice. Those people up for advice, maybe they only just quit lying to themselves and us. Okay. Argue that the genius of the Constitution is that it took the necessity of the absolutes fully into account. The more our founding fathers meditated on biblical standards for civil morality, the more they perceived their wisdom and inspiration. These standards alone have an inestimable advantage never to have undergone any of the revolutions common to all human laws, which have always demanded frequent changes and amendments, sometimes retrenching of unnecessary wording. There has been nothing changed, nothing added, nothing retrenched from the biblical morality for 3,000 years. You know, most all nations have a form. They have a form of government and they right and wrong, but of course it's been out of shape. We know all those things. Absolute definitions. Absolute is perfect quality or nature, complete, not mixed, pure, unadulterated, not limited by restriction or exception, unconditional and total. The truths about God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the instructions of life, You can't refute that. I'm going to turn to Jeremiah 9:23. You know, so many people, and including us, we can think, well, I know how to do it. I'm big enough, and I don't need no help. The 23rd verse. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them. Well, this is back in the Old Testament times. The ones which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. In other words, there's no difference. And he's talking about Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and all that are in the uttermost corner that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. You can't lie to yourself in your heart. And you better, the tenth one says, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. We talked about the Israel people and the prophecies that Isaiah had and the conditions that existed then, and the prophecy reached into the future. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, in all their kingdom, there is none like unto thee. How true that is. But they, speaking of the people that are of the world, they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, gold from Upaz, the work of the workmen and the hands of the founder, blue and purple is their clothing, they are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. And his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he caused the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there's no breath in them. They are vanity, and the work of errors. And in the time of their visitation they shall perish. There's so many material things in the world that get our attention. We've got to have a new hat. We've got to have these things. The necessities of life God will provide, and you will not want. If you love me, keep my commandments. They are vanity and the work of errors. At the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth from me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent any more, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate. And we know that Jerusalem was destroyed centuries back. Jeremiah knows these things, and this is these words. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct himself. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger. He's pleading, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon their families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed and have made this habitation desolate. Well, Lord gave instructions to the nations that existed in that day. Jeremiah is one of them. Isaiah is one of them. Joshua is one of them. Daniel is one of them. He's touched the hearts and inspired the hearts of men that have penned these words right here for our instructions in life. And in these records is the records of the conditions of men and the things they've done. And when payday came upon them, God in His wrath, His judgment was upon them. And we're part of a nation, a great nation. It was founded in the name of God. And the early people had godly fear. But as the world turns, there's not much godly fear. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And let us not be those kind of people that when we get on our knees, don't lie to ourselves and trust and have the faith in God. For He is an absolute, immutable, same yesterday, today, and forever. And all instructions that He gave people, He repeats over and over and over and over to all the different nations and times. And the instructions that He gave these people, we have them yet to us right here. And these are, it was given to these people in this record and all the people in all these books. And we need to be a doer of the word. If we believe what He said, then we should stop and look at the reality of the world and what we say, what we do, and where we are. Today is now. This is present. Yesterday's history, tomorrow does not exist. Each day granted to us is a gift. It is our moment of truth, our existence, reality of life. Acknowledge or not. Oh, we're not alone. Acknowledge ourselves. There are others. What do we believe about God? About anything? Is there good? Is there evil? Is there peace? Is there goodwill? Is there joy? Is there hope? Is there faith in us? Is there anything we acknowledge as being an absolute truth, a fact? Is there God in us? Is there evil in us? Is there love in us? Is there hope in us? Is there an end to man? You know, Christ's Sermon on the Mount are the absolutes for all men to acknowledge and govern their lives each day. Why are they so important? Evil is horrible and present reality. Ideas, good and evil, have consequences. We're spiritual beings. The majority is not always right. You know that? You know, we have a democracy and we vote and the majority wins. But if we look at the truth, the majority is not always right. Truth withstands debate, will stand forever, the truth. A Christian, what does it constitute? Definition from the American Heritage Dictionary. Professing belief in Jesus Christ as Christ, or following the religion based on His teachings, manifesting the quality spirit of Christ, Christ-like. Then we should find these evidence, attributes and characteristics, attitudes in our being. Consequently, a follower of Christ, and a doer. As we look to ourselves and consider these conditions in our daily life, walk in life, are we guilty? If so, we then are truly a Christian. If we qualify of all these things here I mentioned. If we are not Christ-like, what then? Do we qualify ourselves in a different category? We read Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And he's writing this to the Romans. Among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, I serve with spirit in the gospel of his Son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you might be established. You know, when you go into a foreign land or among strangers, it's good that you establish yourself either for good or evil. And let them know what you will do and what you won't do. Establish yourself. That is, that I may be come together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to the Greek. Boy, I put down all that stuff there. I'll just read some of the things that for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We don't have no excuses. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing them to be wise, maybe you can think too much of yourself. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Those are talking about the people that make idols, that did make idols. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own body between themselves. You know, they can seize your... God can what is it? He just lets you have your own way, you know. I guess that's my interpretation of that. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. You know, we serve ourselves. And, you know, just our natural existence. I mean, we serve our... And leaving the natural use of woman, burning their lust one to another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in that doeth. And that right there means the world out there. There isn't hardly anything that you see on TV in the way of entertainment that doesn't have these kind of expressions and conditions in their stories and in their influences on the screen and everything. It embraces every one of those things right there. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But here he sees a little light. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Repentance means stop. And we've come to this fork in the road many times to repent, and that means to stop. But after thy hardness, the impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, if you don't repent, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Okay, just read the rest of this and come to a close. I don't know what time. Oh, yes. Okay. I'll just... The absolutes, the truths, work in our own lives and our society. We matter most because we are people, family, husband, wives, siblings, community, a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, and we're standing on a new threshold and a new world, a new decade, a new century, and a millennium. We have opportunity to live up to our high ideals. If we don't, our future is dangerously uncertain. Strong families abiding the absolutes are the cornerstones of society, backbone of a nation. Equality is not sameness. If government doesn't serve, it will enslave. The same with us, the people. If we don't serve each other in times of need, we are not serving God either. We are our own worst enemy. serve the needy, the homeless, the sick. Religion can be dangerous, but repentance can be redemptive. Servanthood, the key to success and significance. Love conquers all. The absolutes have a source, God.